This is the 919 Beer Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here are your hosts for the 919 Beer Podcast, Joe Ovius, Adam Eshbaugh, and Wayne Holt.
It's the 919 Beer Podcast. Joe Ovius from 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh, North Carolina. Adam Eshbaugh from 919 Beer. No Wayne Holt today. Not that you would know if he was here or not.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
Well,
Joe,
no, we would need...
The man's... It's gone.
It was his birthday. It was his birthday. I got to give him some crap. Happy birthday to Wayne. How old is he now? 65? How old is Wayne? 70?
I don't know, man. I'm not doing that. You're just really touching on some issues here.
Wayne's not here.
Happens. Poor old man's not here to defend himself.
You said old man.
Well, you said 60, 70. I mean, just keep on going.
Is he 50, 56?
I think he's 58.
58 now?
I believe so.
Oh, man. We're going to have to, like, blow it out big.
If we say
60.
Something bad, what's he going to do, chase us? Might break a hip. Sorry, Wayne.
Wayne looks very young for his age.
Yes. So we're actually back at the station today, but we're actually outside of the radio station. As you know, with the pandemic and social distancing,
it's very pleasant out here.
We're not letting anybody in the studio other than like employees. So this has caused a little bit of a beer podcast recording issue. Although it's been fun to go to brewery, but it's like, guys, we got to hang out. We got to go back to the station. And thankfully, Jamie Doom, Southern Pines, the director of sales, was kind enough to drive out from Sanford and hang out with us today. It's an easy drive though.
Yeah, it's straight shot up one.
Yeah, it's a straight shot up one, and I guess we got to start with what you just poured, the Bury Them Deep Italian Pilsner. This is clean, man.
Yeah, we really, really like this. This is a beer we've been working on for the last 3 months on our pilot system, and just a nice, super clean, dry hop, 5.2% Pilsner with three different hops on it. We dry hopped it with Noble Saaz, Mandarina, and Bavaria, and Sapphire hops. So, Mandarina Bavaria is one hop.
One hop.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm the director of sales, and not the brewer.
I'm just giving you a hard time. What's with the name? Because when Wayne's not here, so somebody's got to pick up the, you know, the innuendo,
the slack on that stuff.
Something
the bury
here,
them deep guys.
Guys, well, it's called Bury Them Deep.
We started thinking about Italian beers and you know, kind of the Italian iconography.
Iconography.
Yes. And so we started thinking about that, and we started thinking about spaghetti westerns, you know, which were all directed by, and the music was done by some great Italian directors. And so our packaging is all based on spaghetti westerns, and it's called Bury Them Deep. It's kind of a takeoff on like a John Wayne western. Mm-hmm. The packaging, can't see it, but it's almost like a comic book. We really, really like this. This is just got canned this week, so it's super fresh, and it'll be hitting the market. Tryon, our distributor, picked it up today, so it'll be hitting the market later on this week. So,
well, one thing you mentioned that I think gets under-discussed, you said you had this in your pilot for a few months. Like, you wanted to get it right.
Right.
So that's, like, that matters. Like,
sure.
I don't know if people realize that. You know, sometimes maybe people just, all right, we like it, let's put it out there, see what the market says. Like, you clearly had a vision for what you wanted with this beer, and you just didn't go with that first batch.
One of the things we realized kind of very early on in the process, and especially since we do a different limited beer every single month, mm-hmm. is that we didn't want the first time that we were, you know, we order the cans and do a big 60-barrel or a 30-barrel batch of it. We wanted to make sure, you know, it wasn't the first time trying it, and we wanted to be able to nail it down, so... We have a 2.5-barrel pilot system, and it really allows us to kind of play with things. Our test audience is the tap room for that. And some things, you know, they're so bad when we first try them that they don't even get to the tap room. But this one, it just got better every single time, and we're really happy with how this turned out.
So really, really delicious beer. I love the packaging. You said John Wayne. I'd argue Clint Eastwood.
Yes.
I literally, as an English major, I got to take a class on Clint Eastwood and Steven Spielberg. It was a J-term class. I got an English credit for that. So we watched like Fistful of Dollars and Hang 'Em High and like all this. So like I have a particular fondness for the Sergio Leone genre of spaghetti westerns. And it's just a really, I mean, this is a really memorable looking can. Is this one that you're going to keep around for a while, or is this going to be like a one and done?
No, this is a one and done. You know, we try to make these limited beers, just these one time experiences, and then they're gone. If they do really well, then we bring them back, you know, for a redux, maybe in a year or two. But we like kind of doing something, creating some buzz with it, and then moving on to the next thing.
Yeah, it's
just to get people hyped for the next thing.
Yeah,
okay.
I really it's really really great looking. This guy's got like a. He's actually got a hop. He's got hops like sticking out of his mouth like he's chewing on straw or something. Great job on the marketing on this thing, though. It's a really, really outstanding looking can.
One of our one of the things that we have, we feel like going for us, is our packaging. And all our packaging is done by Craig Morrison, who's the owner and the artist behind Valhalla Tattoo down in Southern Pines. And so just been a great partnership. We really like all of our packaging, and he really is inspired. We kind of give him an idea, and he just runs with it. So, yes, we went with, like, spaghetti western, and you're right, more Clint Eastwood.
And, I wasn't trying to give you crap on that, but, like, it's just, like, this guy, this guy looks awesome.
No, I love the can.
Great-looking can.
Guys, love the can. What else you got?
Next up, we did this one back at the beginning of the summer. This is a salted caramel macchiato stout.
That's an interesting beer to go with in the middle of the summer.
Yeah, we,
2020's unprecedented times, Joe.
Am I reading that right? 10%?
Yes.
Whew. It is Southern Pines.
Whew. You know, I always bring some big beers over here.
I like it. They are known for their bigness.
Especially with our stouts, like we like to kind of boost it up. We have a false bottom in our brew house, and it allows us to really bump the ABV up. And so this one really didn't get out into the market that much. It's a beer that we did and sold. It was right at the beginning of kind of COVID. I think it was released in May.
Yeah.
And we sold most of it out of the tap room. People were just coming in and getting it to go. And so it never actually... I think 20 cases made it to one of our distributors.
Oh wow!
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. I love the design on the can. It actually, you know, just looks like you're holding a frap. You know, doing my basic thing.
Exactly.
So that's actually pretty ingenious. And you also have me at. It's fine. The equipment has had beer spilled on it before. You also have me at Dulce de Leche. That I'm intrigued now by this.
Yes, this is a beer. We have. You know, some lactose in it, some dulce de leche, and sea salt. This was one of my ideas. I have to take
credit
for this.
This is not a beer.
It smells amazing.
No, that's what I'm saying.
It.
Like,
it smells
awesome. If you were, like, this is the type of beer that I would suggest to somebody who's like, I don't really feel
like
beer.
Beer.
I don't like beer, whatever.
Let me just go to Starbucks.
But that's it. That would be exactly it. It's like, well, do you like coffee? Do you like these kind of desserty?
If you
coffees?
Notice, they went green and white with the SP logo.
With a purpose. No, I
just missing
I
a mermaid.
Up, I picked up what they were putting down on that one. That's really good.
Yes.
It's dynamite.
This is the last beer.
This isn't something I'd seek out, but it's definitely something I'd be.
No, this would be
like I wouldn't have sought it out like had I never tasted it, but now I'd like to drink this.
This to me is the last beer of the night.
Right, and this is kind of dessert. You know, this is more of a dessert beer or whatever. We have a local coffee roaster down in Southern Pines that does all of our coffees for our different coffee beers called Cactus Creek. And Micah's really, really intentional about making sure the coffee that they're roasting goes with that particular beer. He'll go through and test. They talk about it a lot, and this is what we came up with. And
it tastes like, Joe, correct me if I'm wrong here, but two pumps of caramel in this.
Skinny, no whip.
I think we went two pumps.
Actually, this is not skinny, no whip.
No, it's not skinny, no whip.
This has everything.
No holds barred on this thing.
It has the ABV really well. It's kind of dangerous in that regard.
Yeah, 10%, you never know.
It's really delicious. But if you drink it like you would drink coffee, it's not going to, like, crush you.
No.
You know, you drink this over the course of, like, an hour, and it's going to be a very good experience. You drink six of them over the course of an hour, and it's going to be a horrible night and morning. I would say.
I would. That would be like when I went to a place last week, and I felt like that the next morning.
You went to a place emotionally, or like physically went somewhere.
All of it. The answer to that is
you went to a place that's not easy for you to talk about.
Well, the funny thing is, my beer drinking has actually been reduced to beer podcast, and then probably
you're all in on the ranch water
and Saturdays. So I've narrowed it down to 2 days a week because, hey man, my jeans ain't fitting.
I appreciate that.
So the beer podcast recording days, and then Saturdays is kind of like the slow burn. I'll just, you know, sometimes we'll hit a brewery or I'm watching football. It is what it is. Plus, I have to recover from my Friday night ranch water.
Friday night ranch water.
Yeah, because like this past Saturday was my buddy Ryan basically trying to foist all these Oktoberfests on me. Because I guess like somebody had dropped them off from whatever it is. I think he had gone to the Brugaloo.
And oh, the drive through thing.
The drive through Brugaloo, yeah. And he came back with all these darker beers. Now he likes the Oktoberfest and whatnot, but he was like, "I hit my limit on them. Please have some."
Right.
So that's what I was doing while I was watching the Hurricanes get crushed by Clemson. But all right, so let's actually talk about the pandemic a little bit and this beer kind of
cool uplifting stuff.
No, but I'm curious, you know, because you mentioned it yourself, you guys put this beer out, this Salted Caramel Monkey at a Stout, in May, which was, I would argue, is the bottom of, like, we hit rock bottom,
right,
in May.
Right.
May and June was rock bottom.
Yes.
But you mentioned that people were still coming in, they were getting stuff. I mean, that's got to be uplifting, because people just they want to support you, they want to make sure that stuff's getting moved, and they were coming in and getting this stuff.
It really was. It was really encouraging. You know, our tagline on all our stuff has always been rooted in the community, and as Southern Pines Brewing, the town's really, you know, taken ownership of our brewery and really helped us out during that time. You know, Adam can tell you, you'll never make more money selling your beer than when you're selling it right out of your own tap room. And so during that time, when the word uncertainty is thrown around a lot, but we didn't know.
During those uncertain times. Yes. Yes.
We didn't know what was going to happen. And it was really nice for us. People showing up, getting growler fills. Maybe people who were usually buying our beer in the grocery store decided to come pick up their weekly, you know, pickup and stock up on beer at our tap room, which just helped us through that. And we're really excited about it. We have a new tap room that's going to be opening up here, hopefully next month, in downtown Southern Pines.
Oh, nice.
And we're hoping to kind of build off of the huge response we had and the great support we had during this time.
I would say this Salted Caramel Macchiato Stout was responsible for a number of folks really jump-starting their COVID weight gain. Because, I mean, not complaining about it, but what people need to know is, like, these big 10 to 12% Imperial Stouts, they're not skinny cocktails, right, Joe? I mean,
they're not my
skim,
ranch water.
No fat, no whip.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, they pack a punch, and they pack some pounds on.
Whenever Joe was talking about his new routine and, you know, trying to keep the weight off, it kind of made me think about last year. I didn't stop drinking, but I just started, instead of drinking beer all the time, I just started drinking gin all the time.
Yes.
And I lost like 40 pounds just drinking. Wow. Like, because, you know, I drink a lot of beer. I'm a big guy to begin with. And so I took off all this weight. And then, you know, during this time, I definitely gained my COVID-19 or whatever. Because I'm back to drinking some beer.
Put on the COVID-19.
Well, I don't know, maybe. But there's also something to be said, too, about, and this is my fault. Okay, right. When you're mixing various styles together and you're having a good old time, you're going to pay for it the next day.
Yeah.
And I think that's what one thing that I learned early in this process in May, June, or actually it was late April, May, when I had nothing else going on. And I've referenced this before in the podcast, but in order to kind of keep sane, you know, people kind of end up having their own weird little bubbles of people who they hang out with.
Right.
It's funny, I was editing photos and video from the summer. To take space off my phone, I'm like, all right, let me just edit all this stuff down into one movie from the summer with various things that we had done, like go out to the beach or, you know, going out to the mountains or whatever it is. And I realized, like, oh, I can tell through the photos like the five other families that we saw the entire time, right? Right? Like we were comfortable with them in that particular.
I thought group. You were going to say you've seen the evolution of your
no, actually
your
well,
COVID-19.
No, not necessarily. Actually,
I think you've done a pretty good job of.
Well, that's because I switched. That's when we switched over to me going, "Damn it, I can't do this." And this is all me to say that back in May. When I started these, in April and May, when I started these Friday night hangs with our backyard neighbors, I was drinking a ton of beer. But it was all this beer that I accumulated from the beer podcast, and, like, I gotta go through it, right?
Right.
But the thing is, it's all various styles.
It's a tough job.
It's a really tough job. I was getting, like, a West Coast IPA, followed by some sort of, like, haze bomb, followed by some sort of, you know, a ghost, I mean, whatever it was. I mean, it didn't matter what it was. And I'm just going through them because I'm just trying to clear out the fridge. And I had the worst hangovers on Saturday. The worst. I'm like, I can't keep doing this. I'm not going to survive this. The summer.
I've never really thought. Sorry.
No. I was interrupting you. Go ahead, Jamie.
I've never really thought about. You know, for me, I guess just beer's beer, and so what, like whatever the experience is. You know, you always hear like, don't mix like liquor, beer.
Sure.
Wine,
yeah. Beer before liquor, never sicker. All that stuff.
I've never really thought about it. Like, oh, I'm mixing all these different styles of beer, and that kind of hurts you too.
Well, yeah. Well,
I think what happens is you stop because you want to enjoy all the different styles. You forget how much of each style you've enjoyed.
This
I think
it's alcohol.
If
content.
You're drinking the same thing, it's like, okay.
But then
I'm
again,
good.
But then again, you know, I can.
Which,
I can
which
go
one
back,
are we doing here?
I can go back to my ACC Hospitalities where I know where I know what I'm doing, and it's like I'm just going to be drinking. I'm just going to be drinking Miller Lite the entire night, and then I wake up the next morning and I'm fine. I mean, a little groggy, whatever it is. Yeah. But I tell you what, I have felt great. Ooh. My Saturday mornings now when I just stuck to my Topo Chico, good tequila, and lime. And I'm hydrating while I drink, Adam.
Yeah, that was what...
I went through half a freaking bottle of...
My wife and I were having that conversation on our day of relaxation that we got last week.
Yeah. Did you know Adam went out to Mexico and then a hurricane came?
I saw it on Facebook.
It was an eventful time. But she was like, you know, if you think about it, because we drink a lot of vodka soda, right? Yeah. On vacation because it doesn't bog you down.
Sure. Spindrift and vodka, man.
And she was like, you know, if you think about it, we're actually hydrating too.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I drink a ton of water anyway.
Yeah,
because you know you're in the sun and stuff.
Sure.
Unless there's a hurricane that blows through.
Pina coladas?
No.
Did you do the Miami Vices?
No, can't do it.
You can totally drink.
I'm not a sugar guy. You know, I'm not a sugar guy.
But that's the other thing too. Oh, like years ago, I dumped sugar. Now, if I have anything that's overly sweet, forget it. All right, so you got
Southern Pines also dumped sugar into this beer that we're tasting right now.
What is this?
Dead man's suit and tie.
Okay, yeah, I got the spice.
Thai Mexican fusion.
Not Oingo Boingo's Dead Man's Party.
12.1%.
Get you right. Get you right in the throat, man.
12%.
Yes,
super sweet.
Super sweet, and then you got some heat at the very end.
Smells delicious.
Yeah, this is again. This
I mean,
is
it tastes
like
good,
a
but
pastry style and
that has a lot going on.
We're happy with it.
Damn!
Yeah.
Do you still do the suit and tie IPA?
No. So this is where this came from. We used to do. Basically, it was our man of law that we were, you know, running out of taps, and when we first started, we're like, hey, let's throw some coconut and some cinnamon and peppers into a IPA and vanilla. And kind of made like a, we called it the suit and tie.
Yeah.
And
I had it on tap at the restaurants and stuff.
Yeah, it was a good beer. But this one, we did this one last year. This is a beer that we brought back, and we really like it. It's definitely more of a pastry style.
Ooh, yes,
super big
it is.
Yes, it is.
But you get the.
It's still burning, by the way. In case you were.
But
yeah,
if you like spice, this is the deal for you right here.
We a long time ago decided if we were going to call something a pepper beer that we wanted to actually put some heat to it.
I have not had a pepper beer in a long time, and the one thing that I would remind people of as Adam takes a photo. First, let me take a selfie.
It didn't work well.
Oh boy, this can't take you anywhere.
Hey, spilling stuff on an outdoor furniture.
As the beer. Temperature-wise, goes up, the spice will also increase too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, depending on how you want to have your beer, right now it's at a good temperature. The spice, I mean, I can handle the spice. But if you're one of those that thinks medium on a wing is too spicy, this is going to be a little much for you.
Right. It is. It's going to be. And we, you know, we put temperatures on all of our cans. So
okay.
This one we have, this one you hear, it's 48 degrees is like what we'd like you to
start. Oh, this is the recommended drinking temperature, yes?
Yes. And so, like, with the Pilsner that you start off with, it's 38 degrees. Or we want you to drink that, you know, super cold. This one, let it warm up just a little bit. That way you can actually enjoy all the flavors. I feel like stouts are always that way.
I dig it.
It's very tasty. I'm not one of those pastry stout guys.
Right.
You know, and those pastry stouts and like hazy IPAs, I think like they have like a following.
Sure.
And you're not stupid to brew many of them. No, I totally get it. I do like pepper beers though. Mm-hmm. Like in moderation.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, some of them get too spicy. This, I would not consider too spicy. This has a ton of flavor. Honestly, I was thankful for the pepper because it's so sweet.
Right.
And that pepper helps balance it out a little bit.
Yeah. I think the first pepper beer I ever had, I forget the name. It was a beer called Ghostface Killer.
I couldn't finish that beer.
Yeah.
I could not. I had, like, two sips, and it was way, way over the top.
I used to work at a bottle shop here in Raleigh, and when people come in, it was something Pines out of Colorado, and people would come in.
Twisted Pine.
Yeah. And people would come in and buy that beer, and I would tell them, hey, this is for cooking with. I was like, you can make some awesome wings with this, or you can use, like, I don't think you can put this to the face. And so every now and then, you know, we keep some cold, and someone would be like, I can totally do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, those ghost face peppers just really would destroy people's.
That was the spiciest beer I've ever had.
Yeah, me too.
I remember I did the one chip challenge that was, I forgot the name of the company that put it out there, but they put like Carolina Reaper dust on a Dorito essentially. And it caused me to have hiccups. Like it got to the point where I was legitimately in tears as it was happening. And then the hiccups kicked in. And it didn't matter if I was drinking water or milk. It just once I got past the actual hit of the spice, it was the hiccups that was making the worst thing. Because I can handle the spicy stuff. But anyway, people.
Hopefully, you won't get hiccups from this beer.
No. This is not the spice level where you're going to worry about the hiccups. That's for sure.
I think the second hottest beer I ever had is Aviator, like 4 or 5 years ago. Did a habanero saison.
Yes,
and
I remember that
beer
one.
Was spicy too.
Shout out to Cherith. We haven't seen her in a while,
Cherith.
Right?
Yeah. I see her, like, randomly pop up on Instagram story.
I saw Cherith at the...
What's up, girl? I'm sure she's listening.
At the VCAs. Cherith, she's the best.
She's the best.
I saw her at the VCAs, the Viewer's Choice Awards, which, by the way, the 919 Beer Podcast is nominated again.
We made it.
It might help
My Saturday plea worked.
It might help that...
that we know people.
That it's run by Capital Broadcasting Company and... We're all part of Capital Broadcasting, but that's neither here nor there.
Shout out, Laura Blake.
Laura, she's another fantastic.
You know what, though? Hey, Joe, here's the thing.
Yeah.
For those listening, if you didn't nominate us, I don't.
Is this like a 5 stars only thing?
Yeah, I mean, we don't make you pay for it.
Yeah,
we don't make you pay to listen to this thing.
This is a good point.
The least you could do is give us a vote.
That's all you want.
I need to play the Sarah McLachlan music in the background? It's all I'm asking. Go ahead. Sorry.
What were we talking about?
I'm just saying, Cherith.
I was talking about Pepperfest.
Yes.
Back when we used to judge pepper beers, and there was one.
When we had festivals.
I want to say it was from Top of the Hill. I want to say it was from Top of the Hill. You're taking us on a journey.
They did the pepper vodka.
Yeah, they did the pepper vodka, mm-hmm. But I want to say they also did a habanero one.
Well, I'm sure because everybody does like a pepper or something there.
I think they left all the seed in there because oh my goodness, yeah. Like
so
for me, I enjoyed it, but I legitimately needed another beer to wash down what I just drank because it was so freaking spicy.
It's not like
bird songs.
Right,
where you feel like you're actually just eating jalapeno.
Right.
Right? Like, it's the flavor.
You taste the pepper itself.
Yeah. You get the flavor of the pepper, but not necessarily the spice. But again, all that is to say that this this dead man with the spice. It's good stuff. Anyway. Well,
something's interesting about peppers, though, and Jamie, the my friend Jamie, the horticulturalist, will also say this. Joe, go ahead and pour yourself some Nav.
I will.
I grew 9 different types of peppers this year.
Yeah, 9?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, my dad has a garden up in Maryland. Well, a small garden.
Mine's pretty small.
Someone like you, you might scoff at that, but... I'm just playing. My friend Jamie, long story short, Jamie started a garden this past year and started telling people that they could refer to him as Jamie the horticulturalist. And I've been faithful to that. Have I not?
Yes.
Yeah. I appreciate it, man.
Like,
hey,
yourself.
you turned your quarantine into an opportunity to do something new and different. And I want to talk about that. But what I was going to say back to peppers, my dad has a garden, brought down a bunch of jalapenos. We make a beer called Hotter Than Hellas. It's basically a happy place with jalapenos in it. Oh, cool. We only serve it at our brewery because it ruins a line. That capsaicin gets in a line and just kills it. We won't sell kegs of it or anything at all. But it has like a cult following. Well, when we made some with Dad's peppers, and like as soon as we cut them open, it was like, whoo, these things are a little spicier than what we're used to dealing with. So it's fun and interesting when you use such a live product like peppers. Sure. It's going to vary.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It's going to give you some variation in your spice level, which is honestly, in the world of craft beer, I think that's part of the fun.
Sure.
And that goes with grains. And in these time of COVID, where shipments were delayed or stopped and people had to make some changes to recipes. It's interesting to see some of the beers that are coming out now that people are having these, some might call them happy accidents.
Sure.
You know, you didn't intentionally make this happen, but because you were forced to make this grain change or brand change on your grain, you're seeing something that you either dislike about the new product or you like. It's been kind of interesting.
It's an opportunity for a lot of breweries to kind of hit the reset button and figure out what they're doing moving forward, you know. And I think during this time, it's really important. I think a lot of these places, are going to reinvent themselves in some way. It's really valuable. I think there's breweries that were doing that in the Triangle even before that. Shout out to my friends over at Neuse River. They've created this awesome restaurant over there.
In that restaurant. And they came on just a few weeks before the shutdown, and their food was incredible.
Yeah, they're really just crushing it, and their beer's always been great. But having like a Belgium style restaurant serving that local community right there, I think it's just phenomenal. And you're starting to see more and more breweries doing that. We started working on a side project at our brewery, hopefully you'll see the fruition of that in the next year or two.
Can you talk a little bit about the side project?
Yeah,
or
I can talk a little bit about it. We're basically doing like a barrel program. We're going to open up under a whole new label that project and trying to do some fairly, geeky things using some secondary fermentation, doing some black fruits and stuff like that. And we're just, trying to stay engaged with things that make us excited. We're really, super excited about everything we're doing.
So a new label and everything, kind of like a Jack's Abbey and Springdale type thing.
Yeah, we're trying to go for the higher end market, all in bottles, everything kind of wild, and fermented. And
that's exciting. That's fun.
New stuff. Yeah.
We're
really lucky. We have our QC person has a PhD in biology, Julia down at the brewery, and we're like, well, we need to put her to work doing some other kind of fun stuff. And so she's kind of using her time to do all these different types of fermentation. We're making misos. We're kind of just playing around.
So you're turning into a soup restaurant.
Yeah, we're just trying to
figure out
where all the, where fruiting beer can go and everything like that. And really using kind of the new technologies or the new research we have on stuff like that. So
that's great. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right. You just handed us the this is your Mexican lager.
Yes. I wanted to bring just lagers and pilsners since Adam was here.
Lagers and pilsners.
That's his deal.
You hear that, Joe? Yeah.
Lagers and pilsners. So, thank you very much. They are two distinct styles.
Do you guys have a filter? Are you guys filtering or are you centrifuging? Yes. What are you doing? You filter?
Yeah, we filter.
Crystal clear beer.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. You guys came out with this a couple years ago, though, right?
Yes, we did. So the NAV stands for the National Athletic Village. It's where the National Rugby Training Center is, right near our brewery. And we've just kept the branding. Like, we made a beer for them. It's done really well. We started to get this.
I like how you have a sugar skull wearing a, like, a rugby cap.
Yeah.
That's great. It's why was it going to be a Mexican lager for this Nev? Like, just because it's light? I know the answer to this. I'm answering it while I'm asking you the question.
Yeah, I mean, you know, thinking about what rugby players might want to drink, or people watching rugby, you know, they're known for their ability to quaff a lot of booze, and so trying to keep something that was like really, really nice and light, really accessible for people. And we always liked the style. So basically we were trying to make like a North Carolina Pacifico
okay.
with this beer here. And
what's the, you went on the light side of the Mexican lagers.
I was going to say, what's the calorie count on this?
The calorie count, we think it's like, I think around 120.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you use rice, corn? What'd you use in this? Do you know?
There's just like a hint. There's a hint of corn in that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Like that's kind of what makes it a Mexican lager. You know?
Okay.
Gotcha.
It's very light.
Yeah.
And maybe my taste buds are a little thrown off because I just went from dead man with the pepper.
I had to clear it up. I had to clear my mouth up a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a little bit going on right now. But actually, it was a good way to just completely cancel out what was going on with the dead man because of the spice.
Because we got to clean it up here. Clean your glass up here for the next thing.
Nice way to hydrate, you know.
Oh, for the next thing? What's the next thing?
Well, Jamie, you want to introduce this?
Oh boy, what's this?
I'm just doing a draft. We're doing a draft only seltzer program right now.
Oh,
Spike Seltzer's program.
Okay.
And so we're just playing around with it. We're probably never going to can this.
It actually smells really good.
So why are you doing seltzers?
Because that's what people want to drink, and anything that keeps people like in our brewery a little bit longer, and stuff that we know we can do. Like we're going to do it, and it's fairly.
Is this for people who don't drink beer?
This is people who don't drink beer or want to switch it up. Maybe you've had some of our bigger beers and you're like, you know.
It smells good.
Geez, I want to like, you know. So this has 1 gram carbs, I guess, in a 16-ounce can.
Okay.
And then it's 100 calories.
It actually tastes a little sweet, but I'm used to drinking vodka and soda.
Raspberry?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a black cherry, black cherry, yeah, and blackberry.
Okay.
Not raspberry. Close enough.
I'm disagreeable.
No,
I have no idea how to, like, taste a seltzer. You know what I mean? Like, I can't critique a seltzer.
I don't either.
You pour it with some ice, and you put some vodka in it, and then you drink it.
Yes.
Yeah, I like to put booze in my booze.
Mean, yeah. And it's fine. It's probably around 4.5%, 5%.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty standard. Mm-hmm. My wife drinks them. And she has her likes and dislikes, but I just don't drink them.
You know, one of my problems with these as well, and especially with us doing it draft only, is that they look weird when you're walking around with a pint of that.
Yes. Yeah, you know? Yes. Right.
So we're thinking about
you might need certain glasses or something,
right,
for your brewery.
Yeah, we thought about that. So.
Serve them in styrofoam or something.
Yeah. Solo cups.
Yeah, solo cups. There you go. You don't want a kid walking around with a clear or something.
Like glass solo cups, though. We'll keep it classy.
And
so our new tap room that we're opening it up in downtown Southern Pines, we're going to have 30 taps.
Oh, wow.
So we wanted to create something, again, that people who are being super carb and calorie conscious.
That makes sense.
Can sit there and drink, and you know, it's good for the summer. It's done really well in
it's
our
got
tap
nice-
room. Like, we go through it really quickly. Not really my thing.
It's got nice flavor, but I'm going not, Southern Pines. I'm
yeah,
going
it's,
to.
It's not. It wouldn't necessarily be my thing, but I would say this. If you put that in skinny cans, and I took it to the pool during the summertime, and I see if I see a Truly or a White Claw, whatever it is, I'm like, if you don't want something that tastes fakey, because that's my issue with, and that's where I guess if I had to settle on. Can I tell if this seltzer is good or not for somebody who doesn't necessarily like seltzers? One of my biggest complaints with the mass market seltzer scene is that all that stuff tastes fake to me.
Right.
That's why a couple of years ago, shout out to Bedlam Vodka. They were a sponsor for the radio station, and I was doing live reads for them. But I actually truly enjoyed their vodka because
vodka.
I thought.
Did you hear that product drop? He actually truly enjoyed
it. Like that, right? Okay. I still buy Bedlam because I like the way it plays with Spindrift. Right. Which is like the actual fruited seltzers, not the fakey tasting seltzers. Like they actually use real fruit in their seltzers. So I like the way it played. So anytime, actually this happened to me over the summertime, where I ran out of beer at the pool, but I was still in that mode.
Right. Like, Joe and his irresponsible behavior.
It's terrible.
running out of beer.
It's terrible. Running out of beer. And Paul and Erica were like, well, we got some Trulies. I was like, fine. I'll drink one.
They make your hands look so much bigger.
I know, right? And I trust me, I need all the help I can get. So I had it in the first swig of that. I'm like, no. Like, it's just so fake tasting.
Yeah.
This tastes more like the actual fruit that you're describing, and it doesn't taste fake to me. I don't know how you're doing this kind of stuff, but it doesn't taste fake. So I'm saying that as an endorsement.
With this one.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm saying that as an endorsement of this because it doesn't taste fake.
Not to shift the focus too much from our good friends at Southern Pines, but while we're talking about seltzers, Joe, we have not had this conversation that Topo Chico is going all in and they're doing boozy seltzers now.
Well, the reason why Coca-Cola, around the time, shout out to my dude Ben, he was actually the one that, I remember Topo Chico when I visited my friends Anita and Jason out in Austin.
Give me some background on Topo Chico.
So Topo Chico is a...
Jamie, you don't know Topo Chico? That's
so shocked. Topo Chico is a Mexican...
Shocks me.
Mineral, carbonated mineral water.
Okay.
Think of it as Pellegrino.
Okay, cool.
Mexican.
Right.
Right? It's not overly carbonated, and I like the you know, people say that water doesn't taste like anything. I think that's crap. Water,
I think it has a slight salinity to it.
It does. It does. So...
Which works really well with tequila.
So Topo Chico got bought out by Coca-Cola, I want to say a year ago. So the availability of Topo Chico has increased. It used to be in this market, if you wanted to find Topo Chico, you had to go to a tienda. You had to go to, like, International Foods. If you were lucky, they would carry it at Whole Foods or something like that, and they would only come in the glass bottles. But now that it's more available, you can actually get them in the plastic so you can just use for whatever. So
it's a really good mixer.
It's a really good mixer. It's a really good mixer.
You've probably seen this before.
If you ever went to some of the hipster bars,
you're
going to
see it now. It's like when you shop for a new car.
Yeah,
you see that car everywhere on the road
all the time.
You're going to notice it.
I live in Sanford now, so I'm a little out of it.
Oh, there you go.
No, honestly though,
you'd find it.
You'll find it in Sanford.
You'll find it
for sure.
Yeah, like for the longest time, I can only find the twist of lime version of Topo Chico at freaking Walmart.
Okay.
You know. So anyway, but it was a Texas thing. It was always a Texas thing. And
the cool thing about Texas things, people that are from Texas will tell you it's a Texas
Who's more like that? People from New York or people from Texas?
Because
people from New York would be like, it's always, well, back in New York.
Yeah.
Well, back in Brooklyn.
I think, honestly, my friends from Texas and my friends from New York, I can bust both their chops equally. I think the people from Texas... They don't overtly come out with the fact that they're from Texas unless there's a topic that pertains to them.
Yeah,
I think people from New York just want you to know all together.
So what do you think
from
the North Carolina version of that? Like I'm from Asheville.
You know, it's,
and so
it's
barbecue. That I'm from Asheville fairly early on in conversation. Sometimes maybe that's like
I thought it was horticulture, but yeah, I don't know. Like Maryland crabs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I
think North Carolina, it's a barbecue conversation. Like when you talk barbecue, I'm from North Carolina. I'm going to like that.
So, I'm saying within the state. Like if you're from a certain part of the state,
it's
more likely to be like, to let you know, it's like people from, you know, San Francisco be like, I'm from the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And so like people who live in North Carolina and are living in Raleigh or whatever are going to be like, I'm from Asheville, so I'm a little cooler.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Jamie, I don't know if anybody heard that. Your microphone's about 6 feet away. Your microphone
he's
is
socially
distanced
from your, microphone.
From your
fine.
Mouth.
It's fine. Sorry. It's fine.
He's from Asheville. That's how they do things there.
Of course. That's fine. They do things a little differently out there. I get
things
it.
Differently
I get
out
it. Hippies. So anyway, long story short, with the ranch water thing, I mean, I vaguely remember it. Anyway, it got bought by Coca-Cola. It's become a little bit more mainstream, and they've now decided to do their own hard seltzers, which I still maintain, avoid the hard seltzers. Just do what? Because this was all born out of the fact that my mom realized that margarita mix wasn't exactly great for you.
Right.
She actually looked at the calorie content and the sugar content. Mm-hmm. So just a quick Google.
Hand her one of these pastry stouts.
I was like, low-calorie margarita, and that was I read a Texas Monthly ode to... the ranch water. I was like, what the hell is this? I'm like, well, I know Topo Chico.
Right.
Oh, okay, I got it. All right, let's do this. And I've been obsessed with it since. And that's what I've been doing on Friday nights. And I just get...
So, you gotta buy good tequila, though.
Well, I think you should only ever buy good tequila.
Well, I agree. I agree.
Have you got into mezcals, though?
I'm not a mezcal fan, man. So what I don't like the smokiness. So I don't like scotch, you know?
So you just drink that straight? I've had mezcal before because my uncle, this was before the pandemic, obviously. When my brother graduated from state, they all came to town. And my uncle he's bougie, all right? There's really no other way to put it. He has a particular taste. He likes to find things.
Sure.
So he's like, oh, I bet you Raleigh doesn't have a mezcal bar. I was like,
yes, we do.
Actually, we
Very
do.
Good one.
And he looks at me funny. And I go, yeah. We just got to go up to Centro.
Right.
Go upstairs.
Right.
What's the name of the mezcal place?
I don't know.
I forgot the name of it off the top of my head. But it's above Centro, right?
Yes.
In downtown Raleigh. He looks it up. Like, he didn't believe me. He looks it up, and he goes, oh, it's been written up about it. I'm like, yeah, dude, come on. Like, it's actually gotten some national press.
Shout out to Marshall. I'm sorry, I forgot the name of your bar.
So we went up there, and he was sold on this place. And he was all about the mezcal. And
they have, like, a mezcal of the month club.
They do.
You taste, like, six different mezcals, and you can buy it through, you know.
Yeah, I'm just not a – I just – not throwing shade on mezcal. It's not my thing.
Kind of like what the craft cocktail people are really into right now. Like,
I'm just not a smoky person. Yeah. I don't love smoked beers.
Yeah, if I see smoked beers, I'm not going to go with that. But I wouldn't mind necessarily something smoked in terms of hard.
I don't like peat or smoke. Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
Like, that's why I don't like scotch.
All right, so because we got to wrap things up, you opened up one more thing. Did I miss this?
Yep.
What is this?
So this is our new beer. This is the Prioris Monk Style.
Prioris.
Yeah, this is a beer that just does a little bit better for us every single year. It's our seasonal.
It's a great beer.
And
as I spill things,
it's nice.
It is nice,
and we really like it. Like, we just have two seasonals now. We just have
we
just have two.
As a Catholic who hasn't been to church in a long time, this speaks to me.
What are the two?
Misty Haze, which we do 7 months out of the year. It's our hazy pale ale.
Okay,
and then this one's the Prioris Monk Stout. I say it's like a dark chocolate covered espresso bean. That's how I'd kind of.
I dig it.
Does this have coffee in it, or just
no?
It's just got coffee flavors. A little roastiness.
The roastiness of the malts really create that. A little bit of lactose, not overbearing though.
Yeah, skim milk stout. All right.
Sure.
No whip. All right. Anything that people should be on the lookout for?
Coming down the line. Next month we're releasing an Imperial 9.3%.
What?
Another heavy beer. What?
You
know what? That was 2020, man. We need it.
Black IPA. We're also
wait.
Whoa, you're going old school.
Yeah,
Imperial.
Whoa.
We can't.
It's called.
I have not heard about a black IPA,
especially not a new one. Not a new one
in ages.
And an Imperial one.
Whoa.
We're really excited about it.
Okay, all right.
Like, it's called Open Toe Casket. That'll be in cans.
All right.
What?
Yeah, we were talking about someone was doing one of our production manager rides like cross like motocross or whatever, and so he was talking about like he's wearing steel toed boots, so at least. He got messed up on a motorbike. You could have an open-toed casket.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're doing a little bit of that. We're going to do bourbon barrel-aged German chocolate cake and bourbon
barrel-aged. Can't go wrong with that.
Drunken Vigils, so two big stouts. And then we're doing Pineapple Thief, some new packaging with that. But
So Pineapple Thief's coming back.
Yes, Pineapple Thief is coming back.
And you always have Drunken Vigils and German chocolate cake.
This will be our first time doing German chocolate cake in like 2 years. So we're
excited. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so
the Drunken Vigils is
that's
the one that puts you to bed. It's like 14%.
Yeah, that one's 14.
Yeah. And it's delicious.
So
fantastic stuff.
Yeah, and then we're just working on a candy bar series.
Oh, good.
Next year.
More sweetness.
Yeah. And we're doing single hop pilsners also.
Oh, nice.
Some of those for next year. So
very cool. Yeah. Well, thanks for driving up here.
Yeah.
Always, Jamie, thanks a lot.
Always great stuff. It's gonna be a good show for me today. With all these 10 and 12 and various other things that we got going on here. But
take your basic salted macchiato
for
Jillio.
I need a straw in that. That's what I need. I need a big old straw and just walk around. What was it? Weeds with Mary Louise Parker?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of Mary Louise Parker.
Peak Mary Louise Parker.
Oh, no, that was peak Mary Louise Parker. But she always had like the fresh, you know, cup in hand with the straw. Like it was always part
of her.
She
was a walking Starbucks commercial.
That would be me with this. All right, if you missed anything from today's podcast, or I'm sorry, I'm reverting back to the show. If you've missed any of our podcasts, I should say, go check those out on the 919 Beer podcast feed. A lot of great breweries that we've talked to over the last couple weeks and months. And if you missed any of those, some great conversations can be had. 5 stars only. We desperately seek your approval. And don't confuse me for Wayne. Happy birthday shout out to Wayne.
Yeah, last week.
I thought it was this week.
No, it was, well.
My Facebook
no,
said
No, it was.
This week.
I guess it was the 12th.
Yeah, Facebook said this week.
Because last year it was Beercana Day. So, yeah.
Unless he's lying about his age.
No, it's correct. His birthday was the 12th.
With Wayne, I won't put past him when it comes to, like, you know, feeling young.
Wayne's only been here 1/3 of the times that I've been here, so.
That sounds about right. Yeah. That sounds about right. What do we got coming up next week?
No, he's like the Rodney Dangerfield of this show.
No respect.
No respect.
No respect.
Standard Foods, new stuff, new hotness.
Sweet.
We're going out there?
If you allow us, right. Joe.
We've had
this one scheduled.
Things have happened. And we just had to reschedule a little bit. So we're doing that
It'll be next Thursday.
We'll be doing that one next Thursday because I have to do I got to do a press junket with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on Wednesday. So
really?
Yeah. Mm. Is what it is. All right. We will see you all next week.
Cheers.
Later.
You've been listening to the 919 Beer Podcast with hosts Joe Ovius, Adam Eshbaugh, and Wayne Holt. Don't forget, there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app. And you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. This podcast also airs Saturday mornings at 8 on Buzz Sports Radio. Thanks again for listening to the 919 Beer Podcast.